gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Spread the truth! Just set you free!
You can't handle the truth!
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great! Thank you! What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome back to the Creative Control Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us once again after about a five-month absence. So we're going to be going and starting this as Season 3 as a hiatus ends and Episode 53. Joining me on today's podcast, we have our regulars Sasha and Neil, and also joining us today is Amrita. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, doing good. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it feels good to be back.
Definitely, I feel that too. Yeah.
Kind of feel like when you post this up, you should have the Eric Bischoff theme song playing.
All right, so what we're doing on today's episode, because we've been away for so long, we are going to do a summer movie roundup. So basically, we're going to be starting from movies released around the end of April, beginning of May, all the way up to kind of most recently. And we're just going to start going through them, giving our thoughts and opinions, giving some ratings. Not all of us will have seen everything, but I'm sure some films will create some more debate than others. Some will just kind of breeze through and just give some basic thoughts. But then hopefully we'll be back to more of a regular schedule, coming with an episode each week. So you get to see and hear a lot more of us. Right, so let's just jump in. And I wanted to include this movie because I'm not sure if we've spoken about it before, because I know we did a lot of trailer reactions, but I know one person in this group in particular loves this movie. So we're going to start off with Super Mario Brothers. That came out, I think it was April time. And Sasha, tell us your thoughts.
Best video game adaptation ever made, hands down. Some people on here are going to disagree, but I'm sorry. Just look at the reaction videos. Just look at everything from all the Nintendo fanboys. I think, if anything, Nintendo know their audience. They got their audience. Would I have liked it to have a bit of Pixar love? You know, old school Pixar love and a little bit of heart? Yeah, I've said that since date dot. But I knew Illuminations going forward. That's just not what they do. Never has been. And you know what? Like, yeah, this movie could have been a complete fail for not having that. But you know what? There's fan service and there's fan service. This had an explosion of fan service. I don't think any Mario fan came out displeased. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Chris Pratt, fantastic as Super Mario, in my opinion. I thought he nailed it. I thought all the cast were fantastic. I loved Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong more than I thought that I would. Breakout star of the show. For me, though, has got to be Jack Black. Killed it. Killed it as Bowser. Killed it.
Song of the summer.
You know, so much so that I actually think with, what's his name? With the guy that did the voice for Super Mario in the game, stepping down recently, I reckon it'll be Chris Pratt to voice the games, you know, moving forward. Wow. I think it's going to be that cast from that movie. That's what I think. We'll find out when the game's out later on in the year. Super Mario, I don't know, he's an elephant now. Don't know why, but, you know, new power-up. But, yeah, was it Super Mario Wonderful or Super Mario Wonder? People comment below. But I'm getting that on my Switch. Game was fantastic from every level. But anyway, I digress.
Cool. Neil, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. I didn't.
It's an 11.
Because I enjoyed it. But what you said, Sash, where you were like, yeah, it could have done with a, like, you know, that early Pixar love.
Yeah.
I think it was missing that. And I think it was noticeably missing it for me, which kind of pulled me out of it a bit. I mean, everything you said, where you said Bowser was terrific, Jack Black nailed it. And if, you know, if Peaches ain't in, like, you know, when it's Oscar time and it's like
Oscar best talk. Song,
yeah. If Peaches don't turn up in just nominated, it's a problem. It's a fix.
It needs to be nominated just so we can see Jack Black sing it at the Oscars wearing that Bowser suit. So
yeah.
give me that.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And yeah, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a very plain. For me, it was just very plain, very straightforward. I don't think it's the best video game adaptation ever, but it is definitely maybe top five.
So. If you say Raccoon City, Neil, I swear to God, we'll pull out right now.
And Rita, ta-ta-ta, what did you think?
Ta-ta-ta-ta. I'm kind of somewhere in between these guys because I did enjoy it. I really did. But I echo the thoughts that Neil has around wanting that Pixar-y vibe because I think there's something that was missing for me too. And if I try and put my finger on it, I think that was it. But did I enjoy it wholeheartedly? Would I watch it again? Most definitely. Did I go and see it with a child who also really was like full of glee the whole way through? Yes. And yeah, I also absolutely love the cast. I think they all did an amazing job with it. Jack Black, hands down, stole it for me, especially his song. That was my favorite part of the whole film. So yeah, I think for me, are we doing scores? Is that
yeah,
is that
give you scores. Want? Yeah, yeah.
I would probably say it was like a 7.5 for me. So it was like a solid, good film. But I also agree with Neil, it wasn't the best game adaptation film for me. Yeah.
Okay. Neil, what was your score?
I gave it a 7.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to echo Neil and Amrita. But, you know, Sasha's mentioned it. He's, you know, he's made it clear he's saw something that was missing the film. Yeah, for me, it is about the heart of those kind of movies. I either needed more from the brother relationship between Mario and Luigi or a deeper relationship with the parents and his father and that looking for approval kind of thing. So I would rather it from the brothers, you know, sort of like I think as Mario's the older brother. And, you know, if he's not being successful and Luigi is kind of looking up to him and, you know, he's not getting that. Sasha and I spoke about previously a little bit like the relationship in Onward, the Disney Pixar movie with Chris Pratt and
Tom that's Holland. What I would have done different.
Yeah, kind of great thing. Brother relationship.
Yeah.
And seeing something like that would have been fantastic. But it looked beautiful. Aesthetics, loads of inside stuff. There would have been loads of stuff that I didn't see or notice because I only know the Mario games briefly, but there was plenty of, for me to kind of enjoy it. But I said the thing for me is rewatchability. Would I go back and rewatch it? Actually, probably not. I've kind of seen it and done it, so it wasn't enough for me to go back to it because for me, story is the most important thing. So for me, yeah, it was a 7 out of 10 as well for Mario. Okay, let's move on. Polite Society. I haven't seen this. Who has?
Yep.
Neil, okay, give us your thoughts and score.
This was a beautiful movie. I absolutely loved this movie. It came out, when did it come out? It came out, well, I saw it when it came out in April, end of April. And yeah, this was 100% the kind of movie I wanted to watch. This is the kind of movie I want to make. Right.
Okay.
Is just it's fictionalized reality, which
I just realized what we were talking about. I now know the film we're talking about. Yes, I've seen it too.
So is it a Bollywood movie or American movie?
No, it's a British movie.
British movie.
West London, Britain.
Right, okay.
Proper backyard film. And it was just expertly done. It's sort of like it has a quote unquote Tarantino type feel to it, where it's sort of like this heightened reality because it's just about real characters in a real life with a real situation. Well, somewhat real situation. It gets real unreal, but the premise is very simple. Which is it's about two sisters, they're super close, and the youngest sister wants to become a stuntwoman. The older sister, who's like an artist, supports her like 100%, even though her Asian Muslim parents are like, nah, that's not your road. You know, they're both very kind of not super rebellious, but they're rebellious enough. You know, they want to live their life. They don't want to be shackled down by what tradition wants them to be. And the older sister gets a boyfriend who wants to marry her. So she kind of starts switching things up. She's like, oh, I'm not really going to be as arty as I want to be. And I'm not really going to be there for my sister filming all of her makeshift stunt videos. And then the younger sister, you know, she smells something's off with the groom-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her story of, like, she's investigating this groom-to-be. And not even really investigating. She's just like, this brother can't marry my sister. I don't want that. So I'm going to, like, ruin the relationship. Which sounds terrible when you phrase it like that. But
she was determined.
She was determined. She showed grit, you know. But more importantly than that, it's a film about seeing who's really got your back.
Okay, cool. All right, something I need to check out. So what was your score, Neil?
Oh, I think I gave it an 8.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Because
very precise.
Yeah, I had to, because it wasn't perfect enough to get a 9.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely
better than an
8.5. 8.5 right. Would be doing the film an injustice.
Okay.
But 9, right. Stretch.
Okay. All right. Amrita, so what score would you give it?
I agree, first of all, with almost everything Neil said. It is a great kind of romp of a film. It's very entertaining. There are so many great aspects to it. But I think for me, firstly, being a Bollywood watcher, half Indian, I watch Indian films all the time, and kind of loving the Tarantino style as well in that form of cinema, the mix of the two was quite delightful, actually, to see on the big screen. But there was something that felt just a bit too much. Like, the cheese level was a bit too much for me at times. So for me, I can't quite say it was an 8.7. Sorry, Neil, but I will say it was an 8. It was a solid, solidly good, entertaining film. Yeah.
Cool. All right. All right. So just before we move in, I'm just going to add another participant to the group today. We have Lee Dixon joining us. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good. How are you guys? Good.
Very good. Very good. Long time no see. It's good to have you on the show. I know. It's been ages.
That's cool. I've not seen Lee in forever.
I know, right? So thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Okay, so we're basically doing a summer movie roundup, Lee. So we're just going to be knocking through movies, giving our scores and initial thoughts. So the next one on my list is Sisu, which was a really surprise hit for me. It's like John Wick's grandfather going on a mission. Yeah, it was lots of action, lots of destruction, quite a bit of gore, some really inventive ways of killing people. Yeah, very basic film, but thoroughly enjoyable. Anybody else see this film?
Yeah, I saw it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. It's a good film.
Cool. Let's give some, well, basically, I gave it 8.9 out of 10. What are some other scores from you guys out there?
I think I gave it a 9. Yeah, I gave it a 9.
Mm. Yeah, I gave it a 9 as well. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Solid 9.
Mm.
I kind of like the fact that the character just didn't speak throughout the whole movie until the very end when he walks, you know.
Yeah, he walks walks into somewhere right at the end and gives like one line or something like that. But basic premise is basically his next soldier. He's in Lapland. He's trying to get away from the war. Comes across some Nazis in his land but he's discovered some gold that was buried. Mm-hmm. And basically the Nazis want the gold. They don't like him. He wants to keep the gold. He doesn't like them. And action ensues. So very basic premise. But like I said, just, you know, thoroughly entertaining. And was it English speaking? It wasn't English speaking, was it? Was it Swedish? A Swedish film?
No, I watched it. It was in English.
Was it in English?
Yeah, I saw it in English as well.
Oh, okay. Maybe I saw a different one.
The only part that wasn't in English was when, at the end of the film, when he says, when he talks to the clerk.
Okay, so I think, right, so it's Finnish, dubbed in English. So I actually saw the Finnish version with subtitles. Wow. So that's where it is. Okay. Sasha, what did you give the movie?
And which film was this?
Sisu.
8.5.
Cool.
I want to give it a 9. Well, it's too early yet.
Okay, you need to watch it again.
What are you talking about?
I was going to say, it's been out a few months, but yeah.
I need some time to let things simmer sometimes. I don't like giving a score right off the movie theater. There's been movies like The Batman that I was like, it's an 8 because I was around people that like The Batman. And then after 4 times after seeing it, the score went from an 8 to a 3. Yeah.
I'm not going to talk to you about that.
I feel like we need to just bypass that entire comment.
That's going to be edited out.
Ever made. But I like Robert Pattinson as Batman, though. He was good.
A little longer than a few minutes later.
Right, moving on from Sisu. Next up, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This was a delight for me. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I had high expectations, obviously, after the first two. We've had quite a few misses with some Marvel products, before this, especially with Ant-Man, didn't really hit home. But James Gunn delivered, that cast delivered. It was about story. It was about Rocket Raccoon. It just had everything. The action, the comedy balance, the heart, the music and soundtrack. Did everything right for me. Solid 9 out of 10. And for me, I felt right. We're back on it with Marvel. Here we go. And there's been a few hits and misses since then. But let's talk about Guardians. And Rita, what did you think of Guardians?
9 out of 10 for me too. Solid film. It got me right in the feels, guys. I think I cried like 5 or 6 times, genuinely.
Yeah, the whole
story. Yeah, Rocket's story was just a lot because, I mean, I knew it was going to be about his kind of genesis and origin, but I did not know the extent at which in a family-friendly film they would go into his background, and it really did touch me. It was quite serious. But no, I loved it. Again, I agree. The soundtrack, of course, every single Guardians film has the greatest soundtrack. This one is no exception. But I think where things left off in 2, and after, the Avengers' latest offerings and things, we've kind of seen things are shifting and are not in a great place for the gang. And I think it felt really good in this, that even though it wasn't necessarily all of the outcomes I wanted, things came to like a really natural, organic and clear resolution for each person.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Amrita. Great summary there. Lee, what did you think?
I'll give it a solid 9 out of 10 as well. To be honest, I think the whole Guardians trilogy is the best Marvel set of 3 films that's been made.
Good argument for it. Absolutely.
I can't really think of anyone else compared. Probably Spider-Man, but I would honestly
say... Captain America is close.
Captain
America 1 wasn't that great for me. I'll be honest.
That's it.
I agree. It was brilliant.
Fair point. 1 is a great movie, but when you look at the balance on the 3, 2 and 3 are so strong in the Cap trilogy.
Yeah.
1 gets a little bit of a pass sometimes, where I think Guardians... The first Guardians for me, for example, is probably in one of my top 5 Marvel movies of all time.
I absolutely
love the first movie. So I personally would put the Guardians trilogy above it. It probably could be for me the best trilogy. Yeah, could be. Neil, what did you think?
I mostly agree with you guys. I did thoroughly enjoy it. I didn't give it a 9. I have my scores in front of me. I gave it an 8.5. I think as much as you guys very much, obviously the story of Rocket is really compelling. That, you have to look, I look at the entire movie on its own as a whole, and it had gaps. And one of them was the villain. He had no presence. To be clear, he did not have a, it was Rocket's movie. and Rocket had.
I disagree with that.
No, I disagree a little bit.
Yeah, I disagree.
He didn't really have a presence, right? Okay, other than the fact that
he was menacing, man.
He wasn't menacing. There was nothing.
Not to you, maybe, but a raccoon, yeah.
Yeah, so,
right? He's killing animals, man.
There's nothing menacing about him, right? His menacing was in relation to Rocket, because Rocket was like, when he was around Rocket, Rocket's like a foot and a half tall.
Yeah, right? But Lex Luthor's not menacing when you look at him, but it's what he does. It's not about the presence.
No, but here's the thing. Sense. Every version of Lex Luthor has been more menacing than this brother. Right? He just wasn't. I watched him and he's like, this is the high evolutionary. He's supposed to be the guy. And I was just sitting there watching this and I was like, you know, from all the comic books that I've read in my life, you're not the one.
Okay. Sasha, what did you think?
I give it an 8. I give it a solid 8. Best trilogy out of all the Marvel films, hands down. Mainly because number one is a 10. Number two is also an 8 for me. Like Neil, there was one thing I was disappointed in. It wasn't the high evolutionary. It was, what's the guy called?
Adam Warlock.
Now, compared to the comics and the most recent Guardians video game, which is fantastic, by the way, everyone should play it. He did okay, but I expected more from that character, especially being hyped up from the previous film and stuff. I thought he'd have a much bigger part than he did, especially considering how much of a character that character is in the whole Infinity Saga. I know, obviously, they cannot adapt that because we've done a version of that, but he's such an important character, and more importantly, he's a dick. But we didn't get that from him. We got a little sense that he's a bit off-ski, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much stuff they could have done with him, especially with the comedy and stuff, and I just felt that that character just shouldn't have been in the movie, full stop. You know, he was in there because it was a trilogy. He was just kind of put in there, and because he is Adam Warlock, I felt there could have been more there with that character in terms of story, character, everything. But that's just me personally as a fanboy. That aside, film was good. Film was fantastic. Okay. It delivered.
All right. Let's move on because we've got a lot to get through. So the next up, we've got Fast X. To say I'm not a fan of this franchise would be an understatement. I think I enjoyed it up to 5, maybe 6. The one with the ending where, unfortunately, Paul Walker died in real life and they 7. Finished that movie. 7, yeah. And the way they finished that off, I was like, tie up there. That is the perfect bow. A brilliant end to the franchise. They decided to keep going. And now it's so far removed from what it was. And the ridiculous of it now, I can't buy into the ridiculousness of it because that's not how the franchise was set up and how it was and how these characters are supposed to be based in. It was supposed to be reality. It was quite grounded. But, you know, when they start going into space and hooking cars on a wire and flipping across, you know, canyons and stuff, it's just like, nah. So Fast X for me, Jason Momoa was a highlight. I did enjoy him in it as a villain because he was just like a...
Always a highlight.
Yeah. Yes. But he was just like, it seemed like they just said, do what you want with it. And he did. And he just embraced that. And yeah, so he was very funny in it. But, you know, Dom turning into Superman and flipping cars by himself, it's just a big no from me. I think I gave it a 4.5 out of 10. So, and that was me being generous. So, Lee, what did you think of Fast X?
I gave it a 3. I think it was
good, man.
I think it was terrible. I think that's one of the worst films to come out this summer. I think if Jason Momoa wasn't in that movie, the film would have been straight to Hulu or, like, I don't know, like, you know, it was so terrible. Like, it's like, it's just too far fetched now. It's like, it's just, I was watching it. I actually wanted to walk out of the cinema when I was watching it. I can't lie. I was thinking, this is actually angering me. Like, it's like,
yes,
they turned Dom into a superhero now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, as Sasha done with the Batman, I don't care. I'm just gonna spoil it. Like, literally, if Dom survives that fucking avalanche here, water coming down here, I am done. Like, I'm literally done. Like, what's he gonna do? Turn into Aquaman and fly out? Like, I understand that. It, to me, it was the worst movie of the whole summer. Like, literally,
I agree.
Terrible.
I agree. Amrita, have you? Oh, Amrita, have you seen it?
I have not. No, I've seen pretty much all of the rest of the franchise, but from the time that this one, all the reviews I was hearing at the time were things about going into space. I was like, no, I think this is where I draw the line.
Yeah, it's a good decision. Sasha, what did you think?
Didn't go see it.
Okay, good man. Well done. Neil.
I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about. I gave this film a 7.5 out of 10.
Wow. Your membership's about to get revoked.
No, but hear me out. Here's what I said. What I said in my review is what I stand by today, right? Now, I take it everybody here has seen John Wick 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And would you be comfortable in saying that John Wick is like a video game almost?
100%.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I would say John Wick is a video game on the level of something like, say, God of War. Like, you know, God of War Ragnarok. It's that kind of caliber of game.
Mm-hmm.
Fast X is a video game. Fast X is Streets of Rage 2.
Fast X wishes it was Streets of Rage 2. Watch that.
That's like, Fast X is like Rocket League. Cars just flying around making no sense.
No, because
I haven't even seen it, and I feel like that's just wrong.
If you try and watch this film, and your mind is like, "This is based in reality," it gets a 3 or a 4 out of 10, right?
I wasn't expecting reality because of what I saw in 9. So I wasn't warped into thinking this is going to be something else.
At the end of 9, when they went into space, I was like, all right, cool. I was like, I'm not expect. And the thing is, once you've done that, you've gone into space, you can't go down and make a super good movie now, right? Once you had them driving, like, I can't remember what the car was, like a Pinto or something. Once you put that into space, like, let's move. If you put like a 2006 Honda Civic in space, I am not expecting Oscar quality from your films. I'm not even expecting the Rotten Tomatoes to be like, yeah, that was a good one. I'm expecting foolishness. And foolishness is what I got. Jason Momoa was like, oh, you man went into space in the last one, so I can do what I like. He did what he liked, and he killed it. And I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm enjoying myself. This is actually all right. I was like, You're not trying to tell me something. The only things, my only drawbacks, really and truly, were there's too many family members to give a shit about.
Yeah.
Right? Every film, you know, somebody compared Dragon Ball Z to the Fast and Furious franchise, and they said it is basically the same thing.
Mm.
Every time Dom beats a villain and doesn't kill them, they become part of the family. Right?
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, he's basically Goku. Right? And yeah, it was enjoyable muck. That's what it was. It was enjoyable
muck. At this point, they just need to do the crossover with Transformers and G.I. Joe and just have it done.
Basically,
what Neil has just said is we have to have complete abandon in order to appreciate that this film was actually Oscar-worthy genius, but to me,
there's abandonment of reality and sensibility, and
you crashed two helicopters.
The fact that you enjoyed it, fair play to you. I'm happy for you.
The last time I saw a helicopter get destroyed by a car was John McClane, Die Hard 4, and that had more realism to it than what Dominic Toretto did. And I was just like, every time I saw something that was just outlandish, I was just like, "You went into space in the last film, okay?"
John Cena and Vin Diesel trying to convince us that they're brothers.
You're trying to convince in Fast 9. They tried to convince you that John Cena and Vin Diesel were blood related. Same mother, same father.
Do you know
they
what,
tried to convince me that every single movie was about family, but we didn't talk about this brother for eight movies. It's like, no.
Exactly.
No. Like, you'll pull this guy off the street and bring him into your family, but your brother, no, yeah. No, I'm not going to talk about
it. Do you know what
him.
I will say, though? In an era where, like, cinema is dwindling and films are just not existing in the actual cinema, they're going straight to, like, streaming and whatever. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that this group of friends, and I'm going to call them friends because they're all friends in real life, have decided to hell with it. We're just going to keep making films together and adding more and more people to this family. I appreciate that. Fair play to them.
Yeah.
And it's obviously working.
It's like their version of Ocean's 12 and 13. They just
literally
knock them out. Yeah, fair enough.
Except they've actually got up to 13 nearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I think the next one, part two is like next year. But okay, so let's move on to more positive things. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So much has been said about this movie all summer. The first one was fantastic. Probably the best Spider-Man movie made. This one is at least on par. It's lots of threads weaving in and out, lots of variations, lots of nods. The Lego sequence, like animated by like this 12-year-old who did, they found on YouTube because he did a Lego version of the trailer that dropped, and they like brought him in to do that whole Lego segment. You know, it's just so many really good feel good stories throughout this. The nice little turn at the end, and yeah, just can't say enough about this movie. I give it a 9.7. So Lee, what did you think?
I gave it like probably like 9.8. I think it was up there. It was definitely one of the best Spider-Man films in a long time. Like, it was really, really good. It's like what you said, Ken. I think the whole variations of Spider-Man, I think even like the solid story, like, I just think what they've done with Miles Morales' character is just, you know what I mean? It's like you kind of feel for his character. Like, wrong. It's like I always felt for Peter Parker and whatnot, but it's like I feel more towards Miles Morales, like, in that sense that he wants to belong, he wants to basically be Spider-Man, and he's trying to do the right thing, you know what I mean? And everyone going up against him, and even Oscar Isaac's character, what's his name again? Oscar Isaac's character?
Miguel.
Like, to me, Miguel, he was trying to do good, but at the same time, is like, he's bad, do you know what I mean? I love that dynamic, And I love that chase sequence when they're all trying to catch him as well.
Yeah.
To me, that was just brilliant. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
It was intense.
Because
we're getting Spider-Man stories. You know, we've had Peter Parker for so long in so many incarnations. It's great to have a different Spider-Man that other, you know, people can relate to and, you know, have different feelings about, different stories, you know, and that's what's so refreshing about it.
Exactly. So,
yeah. And Rita, did you see it?
100%. I could wax lyrical about this film. Honestly, I think it's probably the best film I've seen all year, not going to lie. I would strongly urge anybody to see this film, even if you're not even a Spider-Man fan, or even if you have no knowledge of any of this Spider-Verse business.
Don't need to.
I just think, honestly, it's a masterpiece, genuinely. Mm-hmm. I loved the first one, but I actually think this is even better than that because animation-wise, the thing that I truly, like, artistically appreciate in these films is the first one, the illustration and the graphic kind of style of it was so beautiful. But in this, it was even more out there because every single world, if you like, every single area had its own artistic style and look. And I really appreciated that. I think it's an absolute out-and-out masterpiece. There are so many sequences that go through my head that I think are just stunning. Like, and you know, when you think, I really like this film, I'm going to get a still from the film, and you have to kind of find the right still. I could literally get any single image from this film and it would be a masterpiece image because it's just stunning. So
the way they use colors and the art to represent the different characters, the different feelings, emotions, the growth of the characters, the foreshadowing is fantastic. Yeah.
And the sound as well. The sound was actually amazing too. But I think, for me, depending on how harsh I'm feeling, I'm between a 9.5 and a 10. I can never be below a 9.5, but I'm always kind of around that area. Okay. It was just incredible.
Cool. Neil?
I gave it a 9.5. I thought this was some of the finest superhero storytelling since
the last period.
Period. Yeah,
just
the last one, but period.
Sasha, what did you think?
Yeah, it was good.
Cool. Just good. We'll have to wait 6 months for his score, so we'll move on. Transformers, Rise of the Beasts. I had mixed feelings about this one. I thoroughly enjoyed Bumblebee. And I thought that was a really well-made movie. Kind of took you back, a little bit more grounded. Love the character development they did in that, especially with the human characters, really made connections and made that emotive feel, which was great. This just seemed a little bit more over the top. For me, they went a bit too big too soon. They could have threaded this out a little bit longer. They could have made Unicron sort of like the Thanos and just have him in the background and not appear this movie, maybe the next movie. Because of all the timelines kind of, it seems a little bit messed up because it was like Bumblebee wasn't supposed to be a reboot. It was supposed to be like a prequel, but then they have kind of retcon stuff so you can take it either or basically. You know, they introduce characters like RC and stuff like that. Don't really get to know them. Pete Davidson was Mirage was quite fun. You know, he was all right. The human characters I thought were good. They were quite interesting. But the beasts kept... I couldn't even tell you what they were called, who they were. You know, one, I didn't grow up with that cartoon, but they just had no character development on any of those new characters. It was just, they were just thrown in there. So it just was kind of a bit of a mess for me. Didn't particularly enjoy it. So some nice set pieces, but yeah, for me, it was a 6.5. Anybody else see it? What do they think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it.
I gave it a 7.
What? 7? Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't the best. The soundtrack was better than... It probably the best soundtrack this year. I know you guys love Guardians, but hey, you know what I'm saying Transformers was top notch. Yeah, top tier.
Soundtrack was sick.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like, or not didn't like, but I was like, what the hell was the ending?
Yeah, Noah versus Scourge, innit? It was like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
I think the guy Noah just turned into like Iron Man or something like that.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a nod to the anime movie where like Spike wore the bodysuit.
Yeah, but Spike wasn't there at the finale.
No. Exactly. He wasn't one of two right out.
Spike was like, yeah, Optimus. It's all you. What run? Go ahead.
That was just to keep him alive, which would have been fine if that just kept him alive. But yeah, he had to go Mr. Big Balls. But yeah, Sasha, I think you quite enjoyed this one, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I went in there expecting trash, and trash is what I got. But, you know, at the same time, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I thought it was pretty funny, but maybe it was my mindset. I don't know. but, yeah, it was what it was. I wouldn't watch it again. I'd say it was like a 6, but, yeah.
I think you gave it an 8 on Facebook, so
I was high on something, dude, when I saw it. So you know, this is what I'm talking about. You
walk this out is why his scores mellow out.
This is why I need to balance out, man, because I come out saying crazy shit like that and the Batman. I mean, geez,
we're not going to touch that. And Rita, did you see Transformers?
I didn't. No, again, I was a fan, have been a fan. This just even from the trailer didn't even tempt me, to be honest with you.
Let's talk about probably a film which is a very mixed bag, absolute box office bomb, took no money, and it, even though it's been, well, I mean, it's a film that's been in production for like 10 years or something ridiculous, it finally came out, The Flash. It was a mixed bag for me. I have to say that overall the story I quite enjoyed. I was expecting worse from this. However, when it opened, some of the CG for me was really poor. So the scene where he does the building saving the babies, I was just like, what am I watching? It was ridiculous. And yeah, that completely took me out of it. I didn't like the way that they showed him time traveling in the multiverse with the sphere and all those layers of memories and stuff going on. That again, that was really weird and strange. I didn't like the way they did the different worlds as spheres with those different levels, the way they kind of showed how that looked. I loved Michael Keaton. He was brilliant. He's probably given the best explanation of the multiverse in a movie ever with the spaghetti. That was brilliant. Yeah. Great to see him in the suit and fighting again. Supergirl, I thought she was really well cast. Really enjoyed her. Zod, that was kind of a miss. They could have done much more with that. What else? I didn't like the cameos that they did of the deceased. For me, they were just really terrible throwaway cameos. For me, it's like, if you're going to show Christopher Reeve Superman and Supergirl, they're going to do something more than just stand and watch their world get destroyed. All those characters just looked there, no emotion, nothing. They just stood there and looked, and it was just like, why are you doing that? A lot of it looks like really bad AI generated, like the Adam West Batman didn't have bit ears on the cowl and stuff like that. It looked really weird. So just some really weird stuff there. Didn't appreciate that. Adam West, if you go back and watch it, the Adam West, it looks like it was done by AI. There's no ears on the cows and stuff. And it's like really big bloated belly and stuff. It looks completely weird.
I didn't think it was Adam West. I thought it was the one before him.
No, it's supposed to be the Adam West one. And then Nick Cage, like he filmed stuff for that. And then they just digitalized his face and made him look really weird. Again, like no emotion, just staring. But the fact that they took the time out to film him in costume and then change it into all to a CGI face and try to, I don't know, de-age him, I guess. Just really bad. And I didn't like the ending. I didn't like the thing that pissed me off the most was the George Clooney cameo. Hated it.
Oh, yeah,
hated it. The original version of the movie was going to be Supergirl. She was going to be the new Supergirl going forward because basically Henry Cavill was going to be written out of it. And it had obviously the Flash. I think Wonder Woman was supposed to be there, and it was going to be Michael Keaton's Batman, because that was seen. We saw set pictures of him filming outside the courthouse. He was there as Bruce Wayne. Then they tried to apparently get what's his name from Batman Begins,
Christian Bale.
Apparently, they tried to get him. He wasn't interested, and they ended up. Then they did a cut of it, which people saw, where Bruce Wayne steps out of the car and like his security guards are kind of covering him. It cuts to the Flash going, who the fuck is this guy? But you don't see who it is, which for me, if you're not sure what to do with the universe, that's the way to go. Don't show who it is. Leave it on that cliffhanger. Then you can decide what you want to do with it. But then they brought George Clooney out, like the worst Batman, who's like, keeps apologizing for the over years. It was just kind of it's supposed to be a funny thing. And I was just like, no, you just pissed me off. You could have done so many other things and you just threw him in there, and I was just like, nah, wasn't a fan. Some people liked it, but yeah, I think I gave it a 7.5 because I think it was a lot better than what I thought it was, but there was some really poor CGI doesn't make a movie, you know, because ultimately the story was quite good and the heart was in the right place, but yeah, there's still a lot of things wrong with it. Yeah, anybody else?
You know what, I give it a 7. Straight up, thinking about it, yeah, I did enjoy it a lot more than I thought I would, because I don't think I'd enjoy it. But yeah, I agree with you with the CGI babies. That when that opened, I was like, this is horrible, and not even that, distasteful as well. It's like, why would you throw babies out a window and make that like a big action scene? The thing is, this is the thing with Hollywood. It's like, we want to see tension, maybe not throwing babies out the window. There would be tension if I felt the babies were real at any point, but you knew it was some fake CGI because the CGI was bullshit, and they could have come up with a better action sequence. There's a billion things they could have done. Michael Keaton was fantastic on all levels. Kind of made me wish, why did we recast him in the first place? He should have been Batman for the past 20 years. I would have been fine with that. Easily, but then, you know, would the quality have been good? He would have had to still do Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. So, well, I guess after the first two, we would never have blamed him. But anyway, my point being is, what do I think about all the cameos? Well, yeah, it looks CGI fake and bullshit, but, you know, that didn't bother me at all. I was like, cool, it is what it is. Like, most films these days look fucking terrible. So, you know what I mean? Like, just didn't faze me. I put up with Wonder Woman's shite CGI bullshit, and that turned out to be a pretty okay ending for that first film, not 84. But then George Clooney, I laughed my ass off, bro. I'm sorry. If I got Supergirl and Batgirl and doing all of that and then writing Cavill and Affleck out, I would have screwed. I would be like, wow, they really torched and burned this shit. And you know what? Sure, they could have put in Affleck and Cavill, but then I would have been like, oh, man. Oh, man. Like,
no, I didn't expect Affleck and Cavill. No.
Huh?
I never expected what? Affleck and Cavill to be at the end.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know, but like, for some people, that would have made it great again, but then it would have led mm-hmm. to nowhere. And we still would have, mm-hmm. you know, all those people on the internet webs would have like still come up with conspiracy theories that like fucking they were always going to do X, Y, and Z when they weren't. So when I got George Clooney, I didn't mind it. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? Like, it's clearly for a laugh. And he's clearly having a laugh, and I'm laughing. I was just laughing because I knew how bad this movie would be. So, but yeah, no, I didn't mind the cameo. Fair enough. It was sorting a wound for people to relive Batman and Robin, but I digress. That film was so bad, but you know what? I made good friends out of that film. So I have nice feelings towards Batman and Robin. Like, best friends. I'm just saying, you're one of them. So, you know.
It's true.
Again.
Neil, what do you think?
Caught in controversy, I gave it a 9.
Holy shit.
I'll tell you why. Now, people jump up and down on me. You guys know me well enough to know I do not care about CGI at all. I'm from the era of bootleg VHS tapes where you got people walking back and forth across the screen, right? CGI means less than nothing to me. I grew up with the original version of Predator where you can see Carl Weathers' arm tied behind his back whilst the other arm is fake dangling, right? I don't care about your CGI. I'm story all the way. And if your story catches me, you're getting a high score, right? And the story of The Flash, considering we can't really talk about it, but myself and Sash, and I think you as well, Ken, we know what we were supposed to get when this film was first announced.
Mm-hmm.
And what we got is not what we were supposed to get. So already the film was supposed to be, you know, a bucket of piss to drown rats in. It was not that. It was a good film. Story-wise, I was like, yeah, you know, did it. People not happy with George Clooney coming out the car. Listen, y'all better bow down and kiss his freaking bat-nippled suit. Because if not for that garbage that was Batman and Robin, you lot don't get Batman Begins, which you love insanely, right? Sometimes you need an Amber Heard to shit in your bed.
Wow.
You know what? May I add something? You know what would have been better than Clooney for me personally? Mm-hmm. Val Kilmer. I don't care.
Yeah. That
Val Kilmer show. If Val Kilmer had rolled in, I would have been like, cool. Iceman's here. It's all good. Like, I would have been fine with Val. Mm. Most underrated Batman in history. I'm just saying. Yeah. Val Kilmer was great. Mm-hmm. He was great in Batman Forever.
Yeah, that is true. But all I'll say is at the end of the day, sometimes you can't enjoy the good unless you have dealt with the bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in regards to things like the whole worlds colliding, I have sitting right in front of me, just out of your eye line, I can see it clearly. I have Crisis on Infinite Earths,
the hardcover. That's the visual.
That's the visual.
That's the visual straight out of the comic book.
I agree. I get what you're saying about the CGI, obviously having Christopher Reeves there and Helen Slater there and, you know, having Adam West and all of those guys. But to be honest, I was like, you know what? You did what you did, right? I understood the reference. Whilst I might not have enjoyed it, I understood it. So I was like, all right, cool. You know what? I'm cool with it.
Okay. Lee?
I enjoyed it. I did like it. I did give it, like, probably, like, to say, like, 7 out of 10. But I was expecting a bit more. I was expecting quite a very much straightforward story, to be honest. You know what I mean? I feel like what disappointed for me was the CGI. I think the CGI was just, it was too much. And I felt like there was too much humor in it. Do you know what I mean? There was too much humor in it. Like, I just felt like it just should have just been a straight beginning, middle, and end story. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. I kind of went in there with the expectations that I was going to get like a Man of Steel in that sense, really. Do you know what I mean? And I expected kind of a bit more from Supergirl. I did like Supergirl. I was expecting more from her, yeah. But kind of from what I got from what Zod done to her at the end of the movie as well, I was just like, really? You know what I mean? Like, and I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt like there was something missing about the film. I just felt like there was something missing. But I would say, Ezra Miller, he did shock me with his acting. I think he was really good. I can't lie.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was really like the whole mother scene was it was emotional. Like I saw some people in the cinema crying and shit. Like I was like, oh, I swear, like, do you know what I mean?
I thought it was his best performance as the Flash.
It was really emotional. Yeah, but as I said, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I thought it was a good film. As I said, the only problem in that sense was just the CGI was just too much. The babies. I felt like Ben Affleck's Batman looked fucking creepy as well. Like, I can't lie. Like, I was thinking, why is his nose doing all that shit? Like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, from what we got, yeah, I don't know. It was all right. It was all right. It wasn't the greatest, but yeah.
Yeah. And Rita?
I have very mixed feelings about this film. I agree with Neil that we were expecting a bag of piss, and it wasn't that. I think all of us can pleasantly say it was not that. It was better than that. But was it great? No. I think because I went to see it with you, Ken, and a few other people, as you know, I think when we all walked out of that cinema, we were just like, okay, all right. Like, that was decent. It was okay. Mm-hmm. But then when we started talking about it, there were loads of holes we were picking, such as the CGI, such as the horrendous scene with the babies, such as a few other things. And I do have a mixed feeling of it. I think there are many things that I loved. I loved Supergirl in it, actually. And I wasn't expecting more, but I was hoping to see more of her.
Yeah.
But I did really like her take on it. Obviously, Michael Keaton was the OG gangster in the film. He was amazing. And I have to say, I did really like Ezra Miller too. But Ezra Miller has always been a good actor. That was never up for debate, I don't think. I just felt that there were elements of the film that were on point and really like hit the mark, such as the humor. I actually found it really quite funny at points, but then there were other elements that felt completely all over the place and messy. And it was very much a film that felt like it had multiple stages of production, which is what came across to me. And I think for that, I think when I came out, I said it was a 7.5. I'm now at about a 6.5 realistically. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think I think as much as I criticize a lot of it, I do have to remember that I enjoyed quite a lot of it. So, yeah, I stick at the 7.5 because I did feel coming out of there, I had a good time. You know, I didn't feel annoyed that I've gone in to see it like Fast X. So I was like, you know, but then the more you think about it, the more you look at stuff, you think, I haven't actually watched it all the way through for a second time. So I do need to give it that opportunity.
It's a long-ass movie.
It is a long movie. I didn't have an issue with the different multiverses looking like planets, but it's just the way they had these weird banners going around them showing like levels. If they're actually just separate universes and look like Earths or something colliding, that's different. But it's just the way they're designed. If they're in the comics, fair. But for me, that felt like a really weird visualization of it from when I saw it on screen. But that's just me. Right, let's move on to the next movie. We've got No Hard Feelings, rom-com. Jennifer Lawrence, I quite enjoyed it. Actually, I thought it was really refreshing. I thought it was really funny. Unfortunately, it wasn't as good on the second time viewing as it was the first time, but I think a lot of there is like shock value and initial responses on that first watch. But I came out of it thinking that was really good. I'm really surprised. I actually gave it an 8 out of 10. So I thought it was pretty good. So yeah, anybody else seen it?
Yeah, same as me.
8 out of 10.
Which film?
8.
No hard feelings.
Oh, no, I've not seen that.
Lee, did you say you've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It was funny. It was like, is this Jennifer Lawrence's first movie in a long time, isn't it? I swear.
Yeah.
Like, since her pregnancy or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was it was funny. Like, you know what? I went in there with the expectation that, like, it's just going to be like a proper cheesy film, but I was actually laughing my head off. It was actually funny there. So, yeah, go with that, really. It's good.
Cool.
I'm the same. I would give it 8 out of 10 as well. I thought it was actually hilarious, actually.
Yeah. No, one of the better comedies, because we don't get very good comedies these days. So, yeah. Right. Next up is Pixar Elemental. This was like a Cineworld advanced screening, which I saw it at. It was okay. But unfortunately, I do think Pixar has lost its spark a bit. It's visually stunning. It looked beautiful, amazingly crafted characters, but it was just quite paint by numbers. Normally Pixar movies make me cry multiple times. This got me, and I didn't think this movie was going to get me. It got me right at the very end, when the main character's having a conversation with her parents. Going, but yeah, just something was missing about it for me. I don't know what it is exactly, but yeah, so for me, it was a 7 out of 10. So not one of the better ones. Anybody else?
Yep, I saw it. I think I saw it with you as well, Kenan. I think it was... It was okay. I know exactly what you mean. I think you and I spoke about it after the film, about that lacking in magic a little bit. I did get teary-eyed in one particular spot, which I won't give away, but when
shit is hitting the fan. Been out a while, but yeah.
So, yeah, the point where he basically evaporates, that point, I was like, no, you know, their love story. But there was something missing, and I kind of didn't like that. It didn't just feel like it was the elements. It felt like there was obviously a commentary on like refugees or people of ethnic origin and this and that, which I know is kind of the point, but it annoyed me how stereotypically that came across, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The writer and director of it is based on his own true story of his immigration and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
he's written it from a point of view of something being very personal. So I would hope that any stereotypes that we may see is just because of that's how it was. But whether it's done in a more hardline way for cinema audiences, it may be the case. The bit that got me was when they bowed at each other right at the end. For out of respect, that's where it got me.
Yeah, that was moving.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I don't know, though. I feel like the score's got to be around 6, though.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else?
Neil, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. But now that I know what happens, I ain't seen shit.
Fair play.
You don't really know what happens. But I think it's on Disney Plus now.
I know somebody evaporates and I know 2 seasons out at the end. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like major spoilers, Neil.
No, it just came on Disney Plus yesterday, so at some point I will watch it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I haven't seen the little... Actually, some of you might have seen The Little Mermaid. Any scores on that? I haven't watched it yet. What was your score? Little Mermaid.
I thought it was pretty good. I think I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
It was... Everything I thought was going to be a problem wasn't a problem. So I'm like, all right, cool.
Amrita.
I really, really liked it. I thought she was incredible. Absolutely nailed the voice, nailed the Disney princess vibe, nailed it all. The only thing I didn't like was the ending of the film. I really didn't like the cheese of the ending because it wasn't like the original. And the music was a bit... I just don't like that they keep changing the music to make it different. But other than that, I really liked it. So 7.5 for me.
I have to agree with you, right? The new songs or the revised versions of the classic songs weren't as good as the classic songs.
Agreed.
And the new songs didn't work.
Yeah.
They didn't work. They were put in to give characters more story than they needed, but they didn't work, if being honest.
All right, cool. Moving on. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. This has got to be Ford's last outing on this one. A mixed bag for me. It was a solid film. It's not a great Indiana Jones film, but it was quite entertaining. Yes, it had a few problems. There's some pacing problems. Some scenes went on a little bit too long. I didn't particularly like the dynamic between him and his goddaughter. I would have rather that have been a little bit different. I wanted Indiana Jones passionate about going back out into the field and doing what he did, as opposed to being forced like he had to go to protect someone. Mm. I would have rather have been her, the enthusiast, trying to get him to go along and him rediscovering that joy for it, as opposed to just playing into the grumpy old man, oh, I kind of got to do this just to keep you alive. So I wish that dynamic was slightly different. And then the ending where he, spoilers, where he wanted to stay in the past, I get it from a point of view. It's like he's studied history all his life and that's kind of what he's about. But he was the type of person who'd know the repercussions of him being there and what that would do. Mm. And the fact that then he went to cut to black and he's back in the real world, back in his own timeline. I don't know. It just didn't sit right. It just felt like a clumsy ending to me personally. But other than that, yeah, fairly decent. I gave it a 7.5. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was exactly the same as you. Yeah.
I gave it a 5.
Ooh, 5. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really like it too tough. It kind of put me to sleep a little bit as well, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like his goddaughter, she annoyed the hell out of me. Like,
yeah.
To me, her character was so annoying. I was just thinking, mm-hmm. I want to watch Indiana Jones, man. Like, I don't want to watch her. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, every point, I mean, she was just trying to take, like, what was she trying to take? She was trying to take that thing away from him. And, like, mm-hmm. and she was doing the whole gambling scene. It was just a bit, you know what I mean? I was just like,
it's nothing to do with the actress, it was the writing, you know, because she's a great actress. So.
Yeah, she's great.
It was just a very, like, grating character, very grating, and a very, like, one-upmanship and I know best and don't worry, I've got it all figured out, when really you're just making a more and more difficult situation harder, basically.
There was nothing positive about her and there was no good, solid reason for her to be as negative as she was.
That's true.
Yeah.
So she was just, it's like you can get it. You like, all right, you're an asshole as a character, but you know what? I get it because I've seen this happen and this happen and this happen. Mm. So I've seen you be, you know, become bitter with the world or become bitter with this situation. But no, it was just like, hi, I'm an asshole, but you have to love me because Indiana Jones is my godfather.
No. Like the worst psychic he's ever had in any Indiana Jones movie ever. Like, I think if Shia LaBeouf done a better job than her, like, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. However, the opening scene where they de-aged him and they did that whole flashback sequence, that was fantastic.
That
was great.
Yeah,
I wasn't a fan of that bit simply because I thought he was too good a fighter. They made him too good a fighter in that scene.
Okay. Well, he's always been kind of a one-punch man.
Yeah. I do think, though, like, the action in general, this might just be coming from me as one of the youngest in this entire podcast group, but I found it very Indiana Jonesy, and I did enjoy watching all the action scenes. I was kind of carried along like an adventure each time. So that I felt the spirit of the franchise, but I don't think it delivered as much, is the bottom line, really.
Yeah. Mm. I would probably rather have seen a whole film of him de-aged and just back in that environment. That probably would have worked for me. Sash, what did you think? Because Indiana Jones is close to your heart, some of your favourite movies of all time.
It was good until it wasn't.
Okay.
That's literally At what point was it good until it wasn't? Well, for me, here's the thing. The last 15 minutes killed the whole movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind the back in time thing.
I didn't mind it.
I was like, cool. I actually will count your thing on that. See, the thing is, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Belloc, who's like his yin to his yang, okay, his nemesis in that film, you got the Ark of the Covenant, and he's got a missile launcher. And he's like, I'll blow the ark, Rene. And he's like, blow it up. Do it. I know you won't. You know what I mean? You want to see what's in this ark just as much as I would. And that was a throwback to that. Him being in that time and him not wanting to go. Sure. I thought it was very good writing that he wanted to stay, because look at where he is in life. He's an old man. He's seen life come and go. Mm-hmm. He, you know, his son died. His wife's left him. There's nothing for him outside if he went back. That's why he wanted to stay.
Sure, no, I can understand him wanting to.
Wait, hear me out. I haven't finished.
Sure,
you could counter-argue he's an intelligent guy. He's a professor. He would know the repercussions of what that would do. However, you're talking about an 80-year-old man that has lost a lot. And not only that, having deal with an intelligent person that wasn't making sense in her later years, my grandmother, okay, and my father as well, before they passed on, when you're looking after your parents at very old age and your grandparents, that's a very logical reason. Doesn't matter how smart and clued up they were in their past. I'm sorry, that hit. That really hit. Really,
I think
did.
I agree because, with you on that, Sasha.
They're like, you can have like the smartest person on earth doing irrational shit, all right, at that age with that mindset, because it's not about what's logical, it's about what's their needs for them, okay?
Yeah.
So I completely got that. And when Phoebe Waller-Bridge was begging him to stay, blah blah blah, I could get bored on that, however. The fade to black, get the fuck out. Because
that cheapened
the whole moment, because he as a character has to realize or get on board with what she's trying to say. All right. I would have been fine if she'd slapped him and it'd been a comic moment where he'd be like, ow, or okay, like yeah, you could have made it turned that into comedy, him getting shit together. And save the day, or like be like, okay, I can fly a plane, because let's face it, he can, because he must fly, yes, land, no, whatever. You know what I mean? That would have made more sense, but they didn't want to give us that. They were just like, we need to wrap this up, or whatever. I'm not going to get into it on this podcast because I can completely go in. But Fade to Black annoyed me. It cheapened the whole movie. We went from there into a completely different movie now, which was a little bit more of a drama about him reconnecting with Marion, and the two didn't add up because of the fade to black, you know? It robbed us of him finally being indie. It robbed, it completely brought a downer to the film. And, you know, side note, I didn't appreciate the kid. Like, here's the thing, all right? It was well written. If I'd never seen Temple of Doom before, it was well written. Fine. The kid was fine. All right. The flying thing, they set that up throughout the movie, etc. The problem with the kid was, I've seen Temple of Doom, and Short Round is a better character than how that's a better movie. So it was just kind of like the Star Wars thing that Lucasfilm keeps doing. We don't have any original ideas, so we're just going to throw you the nostalgia berries. He had a sidekick. We'll give one too. And, you know, that's also another score down, because, you know, and this is nothing against the kid or the writing in the particular film, because there was nothing wrong with that. If I'd never seen the previous film, fine. But it was just kind of like, what are you doing? That Short Round 2.0. Just come on, man.
Yeah. I 100% agree with everything you said.
Fade to black. Yeah. You know,
no, that's exactly. I 100% agree with you on that. I didn't have an issue with him wanting to stay. It's that I wanted him to realize that he couldn't and have an opportunity to say goodbye to that place and time. So whether he got something from them, which he took back, whether he left an imprint somewhere, which he could then find later on to prove that he'd been there, something like that, which would allow him to realize and leave. Because that would have been the harder decision. You're right. The cut to black was the issue. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, 100% the cut to black, man, because they completely demasculated him, man. It just made him like some wimp, you know? And it's like, fucking hell, man. Like, how could you do that to the title character? Just anyway. Agreed.
Anyway, let's move on. So Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Loved it. Great story, great action, delivered on everything that I wanted it to deliver. Knew going into it was going to be a part one, so it had to leave on some kind of cliffhanger. we saw the bit, obviously, with the motorcycle jump in the trailers. Kind of wish they hadn't put that in there. But you know what? The train scene at the end, it didn't matter because I didn't really know what to expect with that train scene. That whole segment was phenomenal. So, yeah, fantastic. I think I gave it a 9, but I think on a second watch, I think I gave it a 9.5. No, 9.4, I think it was. So, fantastic for me.
I'm so gutted I've still not seen it.
I've seen it Monday. Yeah. Come with me and Richard.
I really want to see it. I might do. Yeah, let me see if I can.
Do it. Do it. yeah. Lee, what did you think?
I loved it. I love Tom Cruise, man. Tom Cruise can do no wrong right about now in my eyes, boy. Trust me. He's just a man. Like, I loved it. The only thing I would say I didn't really like about the movie was, well, it's a good film. I loved it, as I said, but it's not better than Fallout.
It's not better than Fallout. I agree.
I feel like the villain itself, the whole AI bullshit, yeah, like that was just getting on my nerves. I was thinking, I want to see, like, you know, like I want to see a menacing villain, like how Henry Cavill's, like, character was, you know what I mean? You know, like someone Tom Cruise could actually go up against and was like, all right, cool, this is going to be a big face off, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like basically, like, you know how you're playing Mortal Kombat, you've got Shang Tsung and you've got Goro, yeah? That's how I felt like the guy, he was the one with the knives. That's like, that's how I felt like, that's how he was. I didn't feel like he was on Tom Cruise's level, you know what I mean? And obviously, as I said, I know this is a part one and everything, and obviously going to do part two, but hopefully part two will be much better. But I did like it, like the whole motorcycle scene, the train scene was just phenomenal, literally, and just like the story itself, and even Simon Pegg's character, like just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Fallout raised such a bar. Fallout's probably one of the best action movies in the last 10 years. That is just brilliant. So it had a high bar to achieve. But like I said, it did fairly well. If it passed Fallout, I would have lost my shit. I wouldn't have known what to do or where this could go. So I don't think I expected it to be as good. But the fact that it didn't make me disappointed in any way was a win. But I see what you're saying about the villain. I do. So, but like you say, hopefully that might be something they pick up in the next one. Neil, what do you think?
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I think I gave it a... Maybe I need to pull a sash and not rate films immediately after I see them, because I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. I had issues with it. I think it... I know it's a two-parter, but the film, even as a two-parter, felt incomplete.
Okay.
It felt more like... this is a bad example, but it's the best one that comes to mind. You see, like, them Twilight films, the last two, right? That's one full story. Or no, a better example was the Harry Potter, right? So the last Harry Potter films are one complete story split in two. So they wrote the story. They found a point that they could say, this will be the end of this, of part one. I don't feel like they did that. Obviously, I need to see part two to find out whether I'm right or wrong. But I feel like they knew it was going to be a two-part film, and they just wrote part one and was like, okay, this is long enough. We'll stop here. Okay. And then we'll fix whatever
we'll figure it. We'll figure it out. Okay.
Yeah. And the villain, you try to set someone up as Tom Cruise's equal. And he's not Tom Cruise's equal.
Yeah, it's true, man.
That they like, oh, they've got this long-standing history. It's a bit like a film that, you know, it's a bit like the Vin Diesel having a brother in Fast and Furious films that he doesn't talk about for 8 whole movies. It's this guy is supposed to be essentially Tom Cruise's nemesis. And we never hear anything about him. We never hear nothing to do with him. We never hear about any situation involving Tom Cruise that leads us to think this guy is the guy. He killed your girl and then ran away. And you joined MI, you know, you joined, you know, MI6 or whatever. And that was it.
MIF. Yeah. Okay.
MIF. Thank you. MIF.
Sasha, what did you think?
Film of the summer. 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Lee. Not as good as Fallout for sure. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The train. Yeah. Damn. That's mm-hmm. what's missing from action films. That's all I'm saying. Like these mm-hmm. days, like it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I need to see it again. I'm going to see it again. I would have seen it 10 times already if it wasn't for me like globetrotting, but you know, but yeah, I saw it in IMAX. So yeah, it was phenomenal.
Okay. So let's move on to Oppenheimer. Big, you know, obviously we had Barbenheimer weekend, Oppenheimer and Barbie. I did see them both on the same day. I saw Oppenheimer first. Yeah, I saw Oppenheimer first. Yeah,
and the missus
came with me as well. So I was impressed. So Oppenheimer was good, very well acted, real great tension. You know, Nolan is a great filmmaker. I wasn't a fan of Tenet. So this for me was a welcome return to what he does. It, as much as it was an IMAX, like this IMAX experience, it wasn't an IMAX movie for me. It was more about the performances. There wasn't necessarily any visuals in this, like you have to see on IMAX. It's not that type of movie, but being a Nolan film, they, you know, he films it that way and that's the way he wants it to be seen. But yeah, no, for me, it was a, you know, it was a 9 out of 10. It was a good movie. Really enjoyed it. One of his better movies. So yeah. Anybody else on Oppenheimer?
Absolutely agree. Go on,
Emrya.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to be like a downer here. So I think everyone in this group knows I am obsessed with Christopher Nolan. Like his films mm-hmm. are literally always my favorites. I loved Tenet as well. I was one of the few that really enjoyed it. But this, for me, I really struggled to connect with the storyline. Genuinely, I found it difficult. Do I think the film was a masterpiece? Visually, cinematically, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone makes films the way Nolan does, and he knows his craft inside and out. And there were many kind of visuals that I think are just outstanding in this, but I just couldn't keep up with all of the different characters, all of the jargon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and it was so script heavy, like it was a very, very intense dialogue driven story.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just the day I went. I was pretty tired that day, but I just felt like I was falling asleep at points.
No, I agree. It's, you know, Emma said the same thing. You know, it was a lot of information, and I suppose a lot of it came easy to me because I studied that era in sort of like college and high school and college, and you know, around World War One to World War Two. That was my that was where I learned the most about my history. That's what I really enjoyed learning about. So I knew a lot of the stuff and the people and the characters, which kind of played into it. So I was able to keep track of it quite quickly. But for people who are not that familiar with that story, it throws a lot of information at you. So I totally understand where you're coming from. That
it was the weird thing is for me as well. It was just like a. Where I love Christopher Nolan and I will happily mm-hmm. watch any of his films multiple times. This mm-hmm. is the first time I think I've thought I've seen it.
Yeah.
It was decent for what it is, but I don't mm-hmm. know that I want to watch it again. Yeah. I don't know that I enjoyed it. And that's the problem mm-hmm. for me. So I would say I'd probably give it about a 7, which is low for me with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. One aspect I did really like was the use of color in black and white. The color was the objective, so that was from Oppenheimer's point of view, and the black and white was subjective, so it was from other characters' point of views, mainly Robert Downey Jr.'s character. So it wasn't a true reflection of his own account, but others. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a great way of demonstrating that, where the truth lies and from what perspective, kind of thing. Lee, what did you think?
I think it was good. I think it was a good film. I did have the discussion with Amrita on Facebook. I remember we were having this discussion. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And
you certainly did, yeah.
We did. We went into it. I said I liked it. I liked the storytelling. I thought it was interesting. It kept me hooked. And obviously, like, you know what I mean? Like, the way how Nolan, he tells a story and the way how he does keep you hooked in the film sometimes, like a lot of the time, should I say, like, I think it was brilliant. Like, plus this is a movie, you have a lot of talking in it, you know what I mean? And if you didn't get it, you didn't get it, you know what I mean? And obviously, like, there's a lot of scientific jargon as well, which a lot of people didn't understand. So a lot of people would have lost interest, but I think all that was going on, like, it was just like, it just kept me locked in, do you know what I mean? Even that intense scene when he was talking about having an affair on his wife, then obviously, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You see the, like, the kind of sex scene and him picturing himself naked. I was like, this is mad. And his wife just sitting there, like, looking at it. I was thinking, yeah, like, what you call intense, amazing filmmaking. You know what I mean? Literally. But yeah, no, it was a good film. Even the bomb, especially like the bomb scene. I think everybody expected it just to be like a really big bang straight away. But the build up to it was just like, it's like it felt like your heart was racing. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
And no, I still stand by Amriya.
That scene was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Tenet beats it hands down.
Okay. Yeah. I know Sasha hasn't seen it. So let's move on to Barbie. Look, this is, I think, Warner Brothers' biggest ever grossing film now, or something ridiculous. It's crazy. I mean, it's done more than all the Harry Potters and stuff, hasn't it? So it's not all together, but individual movies. Phenomenal success. I thought it was good. Aesthetically, it was great. I think when you start seeing the world that's built. However, I think once you start seeing the first couple of jokes, it gets a little then, okay, then what's next? That opening scene was like a lot of world building. It's like, okay, get the joke now. But it kept kind of repeating just in different various ways. I thought it had a really good message, but it just wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. I thought Will Ferrell in it was horrible. I didn't like him in it at all. I didn't laugh at him once. Ryan Gosling was amusing, but I thought he was actually the least entertaining about all the Kens. I personally thought Ryan Gosling was miscast. I didn't see it. I didn't feel it with him. That's exactly what I said. I think for me, it should have been more of a Channing Tatum. I think he would have nailed the humor on a better level. But a lot of people are warm to him. A lot of people love him in this, and fair play to you, you know. And his song was entertaining, the set piece and stuff like that. But yeah, so for me, it was a 7 out of 10. Anybody else?
I gave Bob a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10? Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah, 9 out of 10.
We're not talking about Barbie now and not Oppenheimer, right?
No, I'm talking about Barbie, man.
Yeah,
I actually went twice.
Yeah, good for you, Lee. Good for you.
You know it is. I think you gave
the Flash a 9, so you can pipe down. Carry on.
I just wanted to make sure.
X7.
I just wanted confirmation. That's
what I said.
So what gave it a 9 for you, Lee?
Yeah, I think it's the story itself, the meaning behind it. You know what I mean? Like,
how the Barbie sees
the world itself. Like, literally, I think that was just, it was powerful. I think it's a film that, like, basically all little girls should definitely see. All little boys, they should see it as well, in that sense of understanding how to understand, like, females in that sense as well. What I went in there was the expectation that, like, this is going to be cheesy, it's going to be stupid. But, like, actually the meaning behind it itself, that's what I thought, this is great. This is actually a great movie. Do you know what I mean? I see what you're saying, that Channing Tatum, 100% he would have killed it. I think that he would have done a better job than Ryan Gosling. Don't get me wrong. But I did think that Ryan Gosling was quite good in it as well. I did feel like he did have his points where he, like, when he kept on doing the Mojo Dojo. Yeah. Like, to me, that was quite funny. And I feel like, as you said, I think Will Ferrell was terrible in it, just up until the point when he was like, get into the box, you Jezebel.
that was the funny line in the film,
like, from him. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I just feel like he didn't really need to be in the movie. You know what I mean? He was just the boss. That was the man and everything else. But as I said, I gave it the highest score because it's just the meaning behind it itself. And it teaching, like, young girls as well to literally, you don't need this, you don't need that. You could just be normal and... We're not going to kind of bow down inside this man's world. We're going to be the females that we are. And I loved it. I can't lie. I loved it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Emma loved it as well. She wasn't really sure about this movie, didn't know what to expect. But she came out and she absolutely loved it. Yeah, she loved the message, she loved the meaning, she liked the humor. Yeah, it was she really, really liked it. So Neil, what did you give it?
I gave it a 7.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a terrible film. I think I keep describing it as Deadpool for feminism.
Okay.
Right, as in, I basically, you know, what Deadpool was for most, you know, teenage to early 20-year-old men, you know, it's just like it's advanced level fart jokes, right? That is essentially what Barbie was for feminism. I mean, I disagree with what you said, Lee, but not in a negative way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You said that you feel like boys and girls need to see it because it will make them feel like, you know, they can, like, they don't have to conform to what the world wants them to be.
Mm.
I kind of feel like this film is a terrible idea for young kids to see. I feel like this is solely a film for adults. Once you've experienced life, you understand, you know, discrimination in certain levels. You understand people having levels of expectations from you, being like, oh, whether you're a pretty girl, you should only behave in this way. You're, you know, a handsome man, you should behave in this way. Because it kind of reminded me a bit of like Ghostbusters Answer the Call, where it was like, all the men in this movie are stupid. Barring, what was it? I can't remember his name. Was it Alan? Other than Alan, every man in this film was dumb. Like, stuck on stupid dumb. Alan was just like, I'm not the brightest, but I ain't as stupid as these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was like, what is that teaching men, boys and girls, right? It's, you know, it's too long to get into on this, but I did have my issues with the film. I didn't think it was good, and I thought it was... It's a film that definitely needed to be made and definitely needed to be seen. But it definitely had a number of issues in what it was. I think it was intention versus execution is where they had a mismatch.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Rita, what do you think?
I have a lot I could say about this, but I'm going to try and keep it succinct. So firstly, I'll give it the score. For me, it was an 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this film. I kind of knew I would like it. I knew from the trailer it would be something I'd enjoy. But I thought it was going to be like a silly, like time pass kind of jokey adult version of Barbie. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just that. I agree with Lee. I think the message was way more profound than I thought it would have been. Mm-hmm. And as a female, as the only female in this group, I really, really appreciated it. There were bits where I, like America Ferrera's entire monologue, I wanted to get up and applaud. Genuinely, I was just like, hell yeah, finally someone's calling it out. But yes, there was a lot in terms of like the man's side of it, the masculine side, that I don't think is necessarily beneficial for little boys to see in a representation of themselves. Mm-hmm. However, when it comes to women and feminism and all of that jazz, I think it's very easy, especially in today's world, to think, you know, we've got the power, I can be whoever I want to be, all of that stuff, which is fantastic. But I think men get lost in that if they are not very confident in themselves. And I think the good thing about this film was that Barbie addresses that, like, friend zone topic with a friend who really likes her and thinks therefore he's entitled to be with her. And she's like, no, I don't owe you anything, but at the same time, I'm not trying to disrespect you or emasculate you. And I think that is something I really appreciated. That was probably the most profound message of the whole film for me. But yeah, I mean, I've made it really serious, but actually it was just very fun. It was a very entertaining film. And I'll disagree with your Channing Tatum comment, because I think even though he would have been good, I think Channing Tatum plays innocent, naive, like dumb quite well. Whereas Ken doesn't know he's dumb. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's like suave, sophisticated, charming, all of these things, which is why I think Ryan Gosling did it perfectly.
Okay.
He's my guy. I've got to back him.
All right. Sasha, what did you think?
Not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Well put. Okay. Right. Moving on. Let's talk about, well, there's a couple more movies here. So first of all, we're going to go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. I absolutely loved this movie. It was such a surprise for me. For me, it's, I think it's my second highest rated movie of the summer. I think my top is Spider-Man and my second is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, two anime movies. I just love the way that they portrayed the characters. I love the voice acting, the way the brothers were just constantly back and forth, the way they would talk over each other. Splinter and Jackie Chan, just as hilarious in it. It did no wrong for me. So absolutely loved it. I think I give it a 9.4. So yeah, loved it. Anybody else?
I missed it. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yeah. I'll go if you want.
It's probably the funniest film of the summer as well.
Mm. I really loved it. I think Jackie Chan, I agree, was so good in this. So, mm-hmm. so good. And I think my favourite thing about this was that the turtles themselves were actually young boys.
Young teenagers.
Mm-hmm. And it came across, like their dynamic was so real and so natural. Mm-hmm. My only thing, and this is going to be controversial, so I'm sorry, Alex and I have this conversation here and there, but mm-hmm. the animation, whilst I did really like it, it was scratchy. Like, it was hard to keep mm-hmm. track of when there was a lot of action happening, mm-hmm. unlike okay. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, where the images were a lot crisper, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
That was intentional.
It seemed intentional, because, but it was very sketchy, and I found it hard to track the image as things were moving a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, I get that.
That's my only criticism, because otherwise I loved it. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kept it that way because they were trying to keep in vain with the original comics that the creators created. Because if you've ever read like the original Turtles, it's not the cartoon version at all.
Yeah,
and it's got a very kind of like rough, kind of sketchy kind of vibe to it, and that's what I really liked about that. Me, I was on the other end of the spectrum, because I really dug the animation style, because I see what they're going at here, this is pretty, you know what I mean, like kind of thing.
I just found it difficult to visually follow like with my eyes, literally. But no, rating wise probably an 8 for me, 8 or 8.5, something like that.
Okay, cool.
I loved it until I didn't.
What?
You had an issue with them in the high school and the masks, right?
Yeah, I couldn't. They looked like Battletoads. I wasn't feeling it.
Right, okay.
Right? I wasn't feeling that bit. I loved pretty much everything about it. I gave it an 8.5. I thought the cast was too big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you had so many people, you had so many, like, notable voice actors. Notable cast members who, like, their voice is there. And I was like, some of these people were basically cameos.
They had but they're relaunching a franchise as well, right? So when you're relaunching a franchise, you want to put as many names to it as possible to be like, people like, oh my God. So, but I do get your point where you feel maybe slightly missold in a way.
Yeah,
but
missold to me. That the final battle, it didn't feel like, to me, that's what it's supposed to be, because it's I want to see the Ninja Turtles, those four turtles, deal with the problem. Not those four turtles, April, Splinter, and half of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was like, okay, you're kind of losing me here.
Okay.
Kind of losing me. And in the end, where as soon as they took off their masks, and I'm like, really and truly, this is Battletoads now. And I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
No, next weekend, and I know you felt that, just you felt the joy leave me.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so for me, there's two really surprise hits for the summer. One was Gran Turismo.
Still need to see it.
Really surprised the hell out of me.
Good.
I,
yeah.
I remember bitching about this film from the trailer, saying, oh my God, they're showing you everything in the trailer. This is just, what's the point? I went in, I was like, you know what? They really haven't. They have just given you the base outline. There's a lot more to come after. There's a lot more heart in this than I thought. The racing was spectacular. It's what Fast and Furious should be doing in terms of the way it's portraying cars and racing and sound and all that kind of stuff. It was really, really good. And look, it's not so much a games adaptation. It is a biography of the guy who played the game when the competition went on to be a driver. It's very loose game adaptation. But I thought the way they actually did the racing to make it look like the game was great. I gave it an 8.3. The really surprise hit for me. You guys?
Yeah, 8 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, with every word you just said there.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely 8 out of 10. Definitely as well. Everything you said, Ken, is definitely up there. Definitely one of the best films of the summer. It was such a surprise.
And that's it. That's it. It was a surprise. Exactly. Okay,
I think it will be an 8 out of 10 for me when I watch it, but we'll see.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Okay, the other one was the horror film Talk to Me. So, again, this was a Cineworld surprise screening. I know Neil hasn't seen it yet. He's watching it this weekend.
Same here. I'm the same as Neil. Same as Neil.
You know what? That film... That surprised me because, again, I'm not a big horror person. I don't go see horror films, really. And the fact that I was there, I mean, it was so funny. So many people walked out at the beginning when they realized what it was. But no, I stayed and I was so happy I did. This was such a fresh take for me on a horror film and the genre. It was creepy. The opening like half an hour, you just grip the whole time. And yeah. It was fantastic. For me, it was 8.5. Really, really solid movie. Really enjoyed it. And yeah, it was tense. Had me on the edge of my seat. Some good performances. Yeah, really good. Lee, what do you think?
I gave it a 9. I gave it a solid 9.
I see that.
I think the originality with it, yeah. And it went from like, them playing with the hand, laughing to like, now shit is getting serious. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a joke. Mm-hmm. And like, I haven't watched a horror film in a long time that I've watched. And basically, I've actually felt so, like really scared. You know what I mean? Like, especially the cinema was actually like, was dark and everything. And it's like you just obviously I'm not going to spoil it for Neil and Priya.
Neil's
got sweat dripping down. He's just like,
literally, like, obviously, without spoiling it, yeah, obviously, seen it as well, Ken, but as I said, like, from the beginning until the very end, my mouth was at the very end of the movie, my mouth was just open. I was shocked. I did not see that coming. At all, and that's what got me. And I thought, everyone started giving a round of applause in the cinema as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good I reckon it was, and it was really good. Definitely,
it was really good. And I think it's so much of horror can be supernatural, but as much as this has an element of that, it still felt really grounded. It didn't go too far in the supernatural where you could feel like, this is something I think I could sit and actually see and happen. If I was with a group of friends. So, yeah. Okay. So another last movie we'll probably talk about, the last entry for DC until Aquaman 2 comes out. Trailer dropped today, which was a fairly good trailer, to be fair. So Blue Beetle came out. Obviously, the fact that The Flash did so poorly, we didn't necessarily expect this to do well, but it did well for what it was and for its budget. I quite enjoyed it. I love the way the family was depicted on screen. I love that family element to it. The Nam was batshit crazy, and I love that. I thought it was really enjoyable. I wasn't a fan of some of the practical effects where you had the Iron Man screen. I didn't like the visuals that that represented. It was quite cartoony and basic. But really well acted throughout. Some good action set pieces. For me, it was solid, 7.5.
I would probably say I was not entirely sure what to expect going into this. Mm-hmm. And I was pleasantly surprised. I did enjoy it. I actually was there the whole way through enjoying the ride. Mm-hmm. I love the family. I think the family, hands down, are what makes the film what it is.
Totally agree.
I'm not entirely convinced on Susan Sarandon as the baddie. I'm not entirely convinced on, I forget her name, but even the girl that he, that gives him the box, let's say.
There's no need for a character,
there's a bit that I'm a bit like, meh, typical DC meh-ness. But ultimately I did enjoy it, and I think I liked the whole like palette of the film, the actual kind of 80s chroma palette, which very much like Miami Vice, which I think is,
I think their
fictitious area is Miami that they're kind of going to.
Yeah, it is.
So it worked, but I would say I'd probably rate it around a 7 if I'm being modest. It was all right.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
no, I'll give it a 7 as well. 100% I agree with Amrita. 100% it was definitely a 7. Like, as I said, just on the backdrop of like obviously the Flash and everything, and I wasn't expecting too much from it, it quite surprised me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I do like the whole family like element they put towards it as well, you know what I mean? It's true, the nun was just, she was actually loco, as they say, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was good. It was enjoyable. I liked it.
And I love the way they spoke with their dialect, but the broken English. Mm. You know, I thought that that was probably a quite true representation of that. But also the fact that the older generation then didn't speak a word of English. I thought that was great as well. You know, so I really thought the way they represented that family in their history and ancestry was really well done. Mm-hmm. So, Neil, go on.
I genuinely loved it. I mean, I think I gave it a 7.8. Because I thought it's better than the 7.5, but it ain't. Mm-hmm. It's not an 8. I liked the world building they did. I mean, obviously it's a DC film, and it's but the way they did it, the way that they did the film, you don't know whether it's DCEU or DCU. Mm-hmm. It's just a DC film,
definitely
that exists, and it could be in either version.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like the fact that they kept it. They kept it contained. You know, I think one of the problems, we kind of, Marvel toes the line with this, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, of like, once you introduce that this world is populated with a ton of superheroes, then it's like, anytime there's a problem, you're like, well, why don't you just call this superhero to help?
Yeah.
Why don't you call that superhero to help? Sometimes you just need to be like, you know what? You have Manchester United, but you also have Doncaster United. And, you know, sometimes you need, you know, you've got Premier League and then you've got Championship and League One, League Two. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to see a film about League Two.
Thank you for saying Man U is the up team. I'll take that as a Man U fan.
I ain't going to upset people, but I wasn't going to use another team that plays in red that, you know, plays in the top tier. But
Man United's playing like DC, but yeah, carry on.
But yeah,
I can't even argue with that.
I also like the fact that I'm sorry if you ain't watched the film. It came out a month ago. This is your problem, right? the fact that they straight up and down broke the normal superhero trope, and they were like, you know what? His family knows he's a superhero.
With my headphones off, I'm just letting you know I ain't seen the film, so I'm taking them off until Neil's finished talking.
Well, when I give you the thumbs up, you can come back. Right? The fact that they did that, you know, his family knows. His family was there when he got these powers. Yes, so now it's a different... We don't have to worry about that. I can't tell anyone, so they're wondering why I'm not at family dinner. Why? Because I was getting my ass kicked half... You know, the half the city away.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you could only do that. This is going to sound really, if it sounds racist, I apologize.
Don't get this show cancelled.
You can only do that with certain races and certain family dynamics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And having yourself a Latino family or a black family or an Asian family, that's how that shit works, right?
Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
For real.
And everybody knows, and you're like, oh, you become, and everybody's got an opinion on your powers. Everyone's got an opinion on your suit. Everyone's got an opinion on the other superheroes that populate the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is that. So I appreciated that, and I appreciated the nods that they gave to the wider world, not of DC, but of Blue Beetle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that should come back.
Right, okay. So
he's still not come back.
Okay. Sasha, come back.
Come back. Yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
So those are all the movies that I wanted to talk about today. Is there any movies that you guys want to just talk about and that we haven't mentioned quickly?
I just got through the post.
The post?
Oh, what do you think?
Oh, I've seen it. I saw it before. I had a high seas copy of this. Have you guys ever seen this film?
This is so.
The Nolan film.
This is Nolan's first film, isn't it? Alex has ordered it on Sky, but we've not watched it yet because it's something we definitely want to watch.
Apparently, it's amazing. It's a good watch.
Yeah. Let me try and run this real quick, Ken, because I got.
Give me your films and your scores. Go on, give me a rundown.
All right, I saw The Blackening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It wasn't great. I gave it a 6 out of 10.
I need to see that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah,
I gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah, it had issues for me. I saw They Clone Tyrone. That was an 8.5. I love that.
It's funny, man.
Yeah. I saw Insidious, The Red Door, 7.5. Was there anything else? I saw some stuff on Apple TV. I saw Ghosted. That was like a 6.5. It wasn't the best.
Was that the Chris Evans one? Huh? So the Chris Evans one.
Yes, yeah. Chris Evans, yeah. and your lady, Ana de Armas.
Ana de Armas, yeah.
Yeah. I saw Rye Lane. I gave that a 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Evil Dead Rise. I gave it an 8.
Okay.
I gave it an 8. The film
I just love the way you said that, Neil.
It's coming home on Blu-ray. I saw Air. That was an 8, but the more I feel like it needs to be like an 8.5.
How did we not talk about Air? Was that pre summer?
I think we've covered that before we went off air. So yeah.
Okay.
So,
those films.
What about Extraction 2?
Yo, that's underrated. That's good.
Extraction.
Wow. Still need to watch that.
That was an 8.
8.2. I'll probably give it 8.2.
I was like, you know what? Now that I've seen that, the Extraction 2, I don't want to see no American bastardization of the Raid, right? We have the two Raid films. You can watch them dubbed in English if you're too lazy to read subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Extraction if you want to see, you know, the pretty boys.
The pretty white boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some good films this year. And I also saw The Equalizer 3 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
It's you know what? It's not as great as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I thought the film was terrible.
Oh no.
It's unfinished. It's not a finished film.
I disagree.
No, it was good. I didn't like it.
For me, it was like an 8.5. I loved it.
I mean, everyone is entitled to their opinion. You know, I
it was bellissima to me.
I need to see this film. I'm intrigued now.
Two different sides, but I haven't seen either of the first two.
No.
You gotta watch them, Ken.
I've seen two, but I've not seen one. So I'm kind of halfway there.
One's the best. Number one's the best.
One is so great. One is
amazing.
I could never look at 3 and be like, yeah, you did the business. And I'm like, I was there when you first popped up.
3 felt like that cut scene inside the new Indiana Jones movie. Like, that's how it felt. That's exactly how it felt like to me, I'll be honest.
It's an unfinished film. It's, you know, it
rushed.
Took the bloop. They had the bullet points of what they wanted to make.
Mm.
And I feel like as they were writing the film and making the film, they just ran out of time.
They lost the last page.
Let's just make the film.
So I have to say, I obviously went to see it with Alex and Mike, and Alex has seen all like the other two as well. Yeah. He really loved three. He doesn't tend to rate things with scores like straight away, if ever really, but he really, really, really liked it. So I don't know. There seemed to be like a mixed opinion here between all of us.
Okay.
It'll make more sense when I put up my review.
It might just be because I love Italy. Maybe that's why. Because I really love seeing like that whole area and hearing. Yeah. I love Italian. Hearing it is great. It's great.
All right. Cool. Well, let's wrap it up there because we're coming in close to 2 hours. So I've got a lot of editing to do because I don't think anyone's going to want to sit here and listen to us for 2 hours.
You'd be surprised. I'm sure Andreas will love us.
Andreas needs to come on and do another one.
Also, side note, because I know that you are going to be listening to this, Andreas, right? Do not message me and cuss me out about my scores for any of these films.
Andreas, cuss him out, man. You got my permission.
It's going to blow up. It is going to blow up. Okay. Well, look, guys, thank you very much for joining me today. It was really good to be back doing the show again and talking movies. Thank you guys for listening as much as you guys did. If you stick with us all the way through, if you skip to the end, that's no worries. But yeah, thank you very much for joining, supporting. And we are going to try and go back to weekly episodes now and just keep on top of news, reviews, and what we do best in terms of creative control, come up with concepts and ideas for movies, franchises, and where we're going to take them and what we would do with them. So thank you very much. Guys, is there anything else you want to share? Or about what you guys are doing in social media or anything like that.
So, if you guys are into retro games, check out AntStream Arcade, now available on Xbox and most places, Play Store, Apple, whatever, download it, www.antstreamarcade. You've got loads of these retro games. They also have loads of little challenges and stuff like that. That's like extra stuff that you wouldn't get in these games. That's brand new content. And they've got a good lineup of cool stuff and tournaments. You have online leaderboards. You have tournaments here. You have leaderboards with people across the world and shit. And, go nuts. Fight people. Play AntStream. The end.
All right, cool. Cool. Thank you very much. Thanks again. Look, you can check out our video podcast, obviously, on YouTube. The audio podcast is available on all major platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, everywhere you get your podcast. Good Pods. Thank you very much. Yeah. Good Pods, and a really good shout out to Good Pods. They are a great source for independent podcasts, like people like ourselves. Some really fantastic content out there. So definitely check out Good Pods for a great listen. And look, if you liked it, make sure you like and subscribe and follow us for more. Thanks very much. And until next time, peace out.